she roasted us at our Chez and AJ roast about 11, 12 years ago.
Yep.
And her career has pretty much gone downhill after after that. Nikki Glaser on the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, what have you been up to?
Yeah. Been busy?
You guys were the first people to ask me to do a roast, like, I think, ever. And I don't even know how you knew I was good at it. But I remember getting asked and saying, you know, of course. And then having to do all the research and write the jokes and being like, what am I even what? How do they know that I'm even going to be good at this? And then being so nervous. I mean, it was very much like the Tom Brady roast, but, you know, in 2012 for me. I mean, I think that, yeah, it was 2012, it looks like.
Yeah. Yep.
And, yeah, it was actually, well, it looks like it was June 22nd, 2012. So, like, you know, I can't do math, but, like, 14 years ago. Or 12 years ago.
Well,
and that's so crazy.
The difference, though, is when you're looking up Tom Brady jokes, right, you're like, this is cool.
Right.
You're looking up stuff on Chaz and AJ. Right. You're like, who are these people and why do I care?
Deep.
Right. Insignificant.
Yeah.
No, it was kind of the same process. I remember just approaching it the same way of just reading as much as I could, listening as much as I could, and then trying to form an opinion about you guys that was like my own take. And that's so crazy that it was 12 years ago that my roasting journey began, and then it's led me to this. But it really was the first time that I had ever done it. I had written roast jokes, I think, prior to that for Amy Schumer, where she had done some roasts, and I had maybe given her a couple jokes, but I'd never done one on my own. So you guys, I credit you for that. And it was so much fun. I felt like it was a huge success. I remember feeling so good about that night. It was so much fun.
Yeah. Well, I gave you material before you went on. I was hitting on you backstage.
Oh, right. That was you. Okay.
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
Where were you this time? Because I really blew it. Like, what could I have done differently?
Jesus. You know, I'm not a musician, but I know a great song when I hear one.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know the technical aspects of writing and then delivering jokes, but I knew when I was watching your set that I was seeing perfection in a symphony.
Yeah.
I was really watching something magical.
Wow.
Yeah, you killed it.
You didn't miss one.
Thank you so much.
Not one joke missed.
That was
awesome. And your delivery.
Perfect.
By the way, the jokes were funny on their own, but the delivery was so kind.
Yep.
It was delivered in such like a happy delivery.
Right.
You're cutting these people in half and they're laughing.
And it's like,
I was like,
you.
Wow, I've never seen anything like this before.
You know, it's a good roast when it breaks up a couple, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was so funny to me that, yeah, Giselle kind of cited my jokes as the reason her and her jujitsu partner have separated.
Oh, wow.
And it was so ridiculous. I felt, you know, you kind of only want to roast people that are there and present for the roast. And I felt a little bit bad throwing her name into the mix. But then I realized, like, Giselle has been roasting me my whole life just by existing with her body. Like, it's been 20 years. She gave me an eating disorder. She's made me feel horrible about myself over the years. And she doesn't even know who I am, has never said my name. So it's like, I was like, you know, it's payback time. So I felt okay about it. But it was like, you know, going up there, the roast was live. And usually I've done these roasts and they all are taped and then they edit them, and I've always done well, I would say as well as I've done on these roasts on other ones, just in terms of, you know, how everyone else does. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm usually have one of the best sets, but then they edit it and then everyone's sets look good because they juice them up with laughs. And so mine, I've never really cared, but I was just like, oh yeah, you know, mine just kind of is elevated. Everyone else's is elevated to mine. But because this was live, you kind of like saw in real time what they were. And I also had to do the edits myself, you know, like there was no part of me that was like, wow, I really want to keep this joke in because this is good. And, but it might not work. Like there was no chance for a little bit of any kind of reasonable doubt or error. And so that was like the really scary thing about it.
Yeah. How did that feel before you got up there? Like you're sitting there, other people are going up telling jokes and you were early in the set. But still, you have to sit there, and you're not, you know, are you able to listen to these other jokes, or are you kind of going through everything in your head?
I mean, I was able to, there's a little bit of like be in the moment and just like try to have fun because that's really going to be what's going to make this the best. And you guys have been through it, you know, like you're nervous, but you are also, people are watching you. And so there's part of me that was like that. And that's why I was begging them, please let me go up towards the beginning, not only because the crowd is better, but really because I want to have fun at this show and I don't want to spend the whole time worrying about my set. I want to just be able to relax and listen. But, you know, Kevin Hart goes up first and he does a joke that I have in my set. Like he says that, you know, Tom had so much fun after he and Giselle broke up that a part of his body has CTE now, you know, like it was something about that. And then I was like, oh no, like I have a joke about a part of my body having CTE after I beat it up so much studying for him or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so it was the same joke. And usually producers catch that kind of thing, you know, like they are very aware that they don't want repeated materials, but it was so chaotic and everything was so last second and scripts were being sent in and people were choosing jokes too late. I had my set pretty much locked. But other people, you know, Kevin Hart's set was just being still put together an hour before the show. And so they didn't catch it. So I'm sitting up there like, he just said my joke. And I don't, there's no commercial break for me to go, oh, take my joke out of the prompter. Let me think of another one. It was just, I guess I just have to do it. So it was, luckily I only had to sit through a couple people's sets before I got to do mine. And the whole nature of me being like, saying it in a nice way, like, I think that just came out in the moment because I did really feel bad about the jokes I was saying, and I wanted to lighten the mood a little bit. Like, it was all kind of a natural response for me. I wasn't, I really was able for the first time in my career to relax and actually have fun, and I, because I was so prepared, I could just kind of fall back and just trust that it was good. Because I'd run the set, you know, probably 40 times, like just, you know, different versions of it. We were constantly editing it and up to the moment. But I was just, it was the first time I had been that prepared for something. And then you can kind of sit back and do it.
It definitely showed, yeah.
Nikki Glaser's on. She crushed.
Yeah.
Like everybody after that roast on the planet, everybody was talking about you, whether they saw the special or not.
Yep.
Yeah, it was. I was Taylor Swift for like 2 days. I know what it was for like, because it was truly like every time you open your phone, a clip of me would pop up, and then I was on all these shows right after it, and so it was kind of like I was in everyone's faces. Everyone was kind of aware who I was. It was kind of like an overnight thing, and I had a dose of this kind of amplification of fame that I hadn't had in my career. It's been like a slow build over, you know, 20 years.
Did your price go up?
This was just overnight, and it doesn't happen ever and like that. And it's back to normal now. People are not recognizing me as much, but for days I was
they should.
Everywhere it was happening, and it was really cool.
Did your price go up after this?
Did my price go
up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That was the first thing
I
everything
thought.
Everything has kind
the
of gone back down
alone.
To normal. Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, people recognize me a little bit here and there, but that's kind of gone back to normal. But and everyone's like, how's your life changed? And I'm like, it's just I'm making more money. It's great. I can still, you know, walk around in public and look like crap. And no one's like, why is Nikki Glaser dressed like that? They just think that homeless woman kind of looks like Nikki Glaser. Like, I don't have to try. Yeah, and that's like, I have a perfect level of fame. Like, people who know me I get recognized like once or twice a day, and it makes me feel good, but it's not like I can't go places and function normally, and I'm not constantly thinking like, who here knows me? But then, you know, I'm rich, and that's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's perfect. I didn't know you had a boyfriend. Is that something?
I do. I've had a boyfriend for 10 years, but we've been off and on. Like, we break up a lot and then we get back together. And we've been off and on forever, but we're actually at the level, we're going to take it to the next level and probably break up forever pretty soon.
Oh,
I'm kidding. It's a joke.
Did you?
We always do break up, but it's kind of nice because then we date other people and then
you get the variety.
What's out there. And then I look back at him and I'm like, oh, he's the best I can do, you know? And then I get back together because it's ultimately about settling in the end. You just go, you know what? I'm tired and this is good enough. Right. And I thought I could do better, but I can't.
I was going to say, because you mentioned that the roast 10 years, and I thought, well, why wouldn't you take it to the next level? It's okay, it's 10 years,
right?
But breakups and
little pauses along the way.
Little pauses.
Yeah. Do you think this is the last roast you do?
What was that?
Like, you did so well at this roast. Do you think that's the last one you do?
There's a part of me that's like, I don't want to do these again because there's so much work. And the older you get as a woman, like, I'm just turned 40. It's like the jokes are going to get crueler about, like, what my face is looking like. Or, like, you know, just things that I can't really it's really about my ego. Like, you get pretty beat up at these things if you're talked about a lot. Like, I was hardly talked about at all at this roast because no one knew who I was, really. And I think the next one, people will be ready come at me.
They didn't even wait for the next one.
There's that.
So there's Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer were saying if you were later in the set and Schultz was earlier in the set, everyone would have been talking about him, which I saw his set.
Well,
not true.
They're idiots to say that because who knows? Maybe. I just don't think that I hate to play the I don't think they'd be saying that if there was a man that did as well as me. I don't think if I went in Schultz's spot, they'd be like, well, Nikki Glaser, if she was in Andrew's spot earlier, she would have done better. It's like, I think that they probably were just like, why is this girl getting so much attention? They're all my friends. And so I don't really know why they posed that because we could say that about anything, you know, like, well, we
Can
would
I
probably
tell you
know
why?
This person better if this thing would have happened. And it's just like, okay, well, fine, but I still did well and put me anywhere in the show. And I think it would have at least traveled on social media. Maybe people wouldn't have stayed up for it because it's a long show. But there's no question that me going earlier is a good thing. I mean, there's no question, but I just think that running that scenario is just taking something away from me needlessly because someone's butthurt about it.
You know why?
I just don't get it.
It's the joke you said about Kreischer. It's like, oh, I love your one joke. I saw his face. That got in there.
That was a dagger.
That.
It's a roast.
That was a good shot.
You're like, he has a shirt on, and then he takes it off. Like,
I mean, it's crazy. It's brilliant.
Jesus.
I love Bert so much, and I usually like to say that I stand by all my jokes, but that one, I do love Bert's jokes, and I love his act, and I do think it was probably a little bit of a, I mean, I know how it feels to get these jokes said to you and about you, and you laugh through them, but it really does hurt you. There's no question that joke hurt his feelings. There's no question, and that's... And so I understand it was probably a little bit of a response to that, but I love those guys, and it's hard. That's the hardest part is roasting other comedians because you're like, I know how insecure these people are because I'm one of them, and also I'm gonna have to know them the rest of my life, and also who knows what they're gonna start saying about me on their podcast when they get a chance when I'm not in the room or like you open your phone one day and Bert Kreischer is saying that you didn't do as well as Andrew did, and you're just like, what the hell, you know?
No, but you have to see that as, okay, my joke was effective, it bothered him.
And the success is threatening.
But it is. I mean,
yeah, we're all,
Nikki,
you know, we
no
all
one
kind of
talked
pay
about anyone.
However...
The only other thing I heard, so you were the headline, and then way 10 miles down below that was who knew football players were so funny?
Yeah, Drew Bledsoe, surprise.
Like, no other comedian got any. And by the way, one of your lines I'll have for the rest of my life, another one on a comedian, Jeff Ross, you look like something cancer catches.
Yes.
I'm like, holy crap.
You put the ick in Ozempic.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was fun. One was hard, too. Oh, yeah.
That was a master class.
Because I know Jeff cares about what he looks like, and that stuff hurts. And so that's why I was like, I'm so sorry, Jeff. Like, I didn't want to say those at all. The Tom Brady stuff, it's like, you're Tom Brady. Who cares? Like, it was even hard for me to... just have certain, like, just lay off of certain things about these celebrities, these rich people who are kind of so incubated and insulated from the real world. I'm like, you're not out there like we are. You're not, there's something about, you want to take them down and you don't want to pull any punches, but then they're also so powerful and, that you do. But then comedians are just like, screw you. I can throw you under the bus. You're just a comic. Like, we get no respect even from each other. And that's where it was like so fun to come at them. But it's definitely definitely uncomfortable when you have to return to your seat after you've just like said all these things about Jeff Ross, and then he's like, "Good job," and you're like, "Really? Good job." I know how it feels. Like my feelings got hurt, but I thought it was just a great show, and I think it was just like people needed. I hate to say that like everyone's just too precious about getting offended, and we needed this release, but it kind of felt like we all did need this release of just everyone being so mean and just pushing the envelope and no holds barred. Like it just felt the headline wasn't like how offensive was that show last
night.
It was like how great was that? Like if you would have looked at the script for that roast, and if Netflix would have seen a script prior to the taping, they would have like scratched out everything. I mean, it probably wouldn't have aired if they would have edited it because it was so crazy. But because it was live, and for some reason culturally, we just needed that release. And so I was so shocked because I remember sitting there listening to some of the jokes thinking, oh, my God, the headlines tomorrow are going to be about that joke. And it wasn't. It was just like, oh, thank God. That was so fun. And so I thought it was just a great moment culturally, and I was so lucky to be a part of it. I mean, I think part of it, people go, how do you do these roasts? They're so scary. And a lot of comedians turn them down. That's, I mean, I'm not going to lie. That's why I get to do them is because I just have, I guess, the guts to do it because I don't
and you do the
I
work.
Know how important they yep. are. But a lot of comedians cannot stomach doing it because it hurts your feelings and because it's live and the amount of pressure is just too much. And so I'm glad that I'm a little bit delusional enough to take this on because it was terrifying, the idea that it was live on Netflix globally.
Ugh.
And at the Kia Forum, which is the largest audience I'd ever been in front of live in my life. I mean, it was 10,000 people and I don't do shows of that size. I'm, you know, capping
Incredible.
Out around 3,000. So it was like, it was a lot of milestones for me in one moment.
There was a moment in your set, you made a joke about Tom Brady's weight loss program and how he lost a whole family. and as you were going to the next joke, he started saying something. Did you hear what he said?
Oh, no, I didn't. He was far enough away, and I was so locked in, I didn't hear. I'm sure he was just like, not cool.
I tried to hear it a couple times.
Yeah.
I can't tell what he's saying.
Damn it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't watched it back because I'm not good at watching.
Remember
myself,
it the way you remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, don't look
Never.
Back at it because you'll criticize it. It'll take the steam. Don't watch it. Don't ever. It was perfect.
It was a masterpiece.
It doesn't matter how perfect it is. Like it really felt like. I've never felt similar to an Olympian in my life, but it felt like some kind of balance beam routine, and I didn't want to watch me have any one of those little like arm swings where you like catch your balance. Like I'm like, because I could see all of those, even though the score was, a perfect 10 or whatever. It's one of the worst parts about being me, and I'm assuming you guys too, is that you just can't look at yourself, even though we expect people to listen to us all the time.
No, you don't.
It's so ironic.
Yeah, because you'll listen and then you'll hear what you could have done better, and you shouldn't do that. That was perfect.
It was.
Thank you.
In Foxwoods, there's like 3 seats left.
Yeah.
By the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a lot.
For my Sunday show, I added a show on Sunday, so I think that's the one that everyone is directed to.
Okay.
Cool. Very cool.
So this Sunday, Foxwoods. I have Saturday, so probably like 3 seats left. Sunday at Foxwoods. It's really a show that I recommend people go. I mean, it's killer stuff. And I just put out a new special in right after the roast, actually, on HBO. But this set is all new material. So you can watch my special prior to the show and then show up and you're not going to hear maybe 1 or 2 jokes you'll hear because I just forgot not to tell them. But I mean, I have all new material. It's so much fun. And it's also a show that I really encourage people to, if you can't find a friend to go with you and you want to go see some entertainment, my show is a perfect thing to go alone to. I'm not going to call you out or make fun of you for being alone. I just love when people go alone, and I don't think they should, miss out on them. So many people miss out on going to do things because they don't want to look like a loser alone. But it's hard to find friends that don't, you can get a babysitter or whatever. It's hard to find friends in general as an adult. So if you're someone out there that doesn't have friends or you don't have friends that are cool and can hang and want to go and do things, come to my show alone. You won't be embarrassed. You will bring a notepad and a a pen and act like you're a journalist writing a review. Like, but it's really, I encourage people to take themselves out alone and do cool things and not miss out because your friends are lame. So,
and it's
the best way to get a good seat because those individual seats are always better than the ones that are grouped together.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So we're linked up to both shows on the radio station website. You know, Saturday might be sold out. Maybe Sunday is the one with a few tickets.
Okay, might be the case.
I'll double check on that one.
Yeah.
But AJ was disappointed you didn't come in studio because he was hoping to give you another foot rub.
Yep.
Oh my God, that was so good. Oh my God. I need one so bad. I just heard an ad while I was waiting online for like bunion surgery, and I was like, man, I gotta get this taken care of. they're really popping off today. I could really use one.
Somebody was coming in and
Rachel Feinstein.
Rachel Feinstein.
Yeah, you definitely told her. She was aware walking in. She's like, "Who's the foot rub guy?"
My claim to fame.
That's right.
Take it. I don't care what the person's feeling on the other end. If it feels good to me, if it's not sexual to me, I don't care what they're doing. I can just put a sheet over it and just go to town.
There you go.
That's a compliment,
yes,
right?
I think so.
I'm going to
put a sheet over AJ's face.
I'm going to take it that way.
Nikki, thanks for taking time.
Yeah.
You know, at this point in your career, to still talk to us. We're so proud and happy to know you. And
no, you guys are a big part of my formation as a roast comic. I'm so grateful for you guys 12 years ago. So thank you so much. And I'll come in when I can. And always call in. I love you guys. Thank you so much.
Love you too. Nikki Glaser, everyone.
Bye, guys.